Welcome in, fans of Lineup Logic and Week 4's edition of the Fantasy Fade Route. This week, we're down a man. You're talking and listening to right now, Spartanzilla, Kwafo Adakwa here. And with me this week is Roto underscore one, Mike Alexander. What's up, Mike? How are you?
What's going on, Kwafo? We're going to have to pick up the slack.
We definitely have to pick up the slack. We got a man down under the weather, but we're thinking of Jason, and he'll be back for week five for sure. So,
yep.
For those that are uninitiated to the web, to the podcast at this point, it's part of the Lineup Logic family. We're having a lot of fun doing this. For those that are interested, and we hope you are, for $10 a month, you can join the Lineup Logic crew. Get access to our Slack chat, get access to our cheat sheets for a variety of sports. I think Mike even saw MMA the other day. So there's MMA, there's the NFL.
Big MMA card coming up in about 2 weeks here. Conor McGregor versus Khabib Nurmagomedov.
No doubt. So check all that out for $10 a month. Subscribe, patreon.com/lineuplogic. For all the activity on a variety of sports, there's a lot of people doing soccer, NHL, you name it. So get involved with that. Mike, you want to talk a little bit about our intro music?
Yeah, we got, if you noticed last week, some new intro music. Jason hooked us up with a band he knows, a band by the name of Miles and Minutes, and the song was called Watch for Our Lights. A really nice track there. If you guys are interested, you can get that just by Googling and giving them a listen.
Yeah, it was a great way to kind of get us started and get us rolling for the week. So this week we have a few less games than this is the first week of bye weeks. It'll stretch out through most of the season. So before we go into game by game, Mike, give any observations from the week that just was in the NFL?
It was a weird week for me because I was really high on the Saints, particularly Breeze and Kamara. And I did nothing with those lineups. I really kind of threw away some nice opportunities there by the people I paired them with. And then, you know, the good pairings that I did have, on the other side, I had a lot of, like, Bortles and Keelan Cole. It was not a great week for me. But that's what happens. It's, you know, it's a weekly game. You gotta wipe the slate clean and get back at it. You know, I had good process in a couple of, you know, avenues, just didn't put it all together. But, you know, it's so far this season, I think Vegas has been pretty good. So, you know, especially early on, that's something to always kind of rely on. Let the people who spend hours and hours and have spent years and years figuring out how to predict football games, let them be your guide.
Exactly, since it's their livelihood. Like, those buildings don't get built by themselves out there in Vegas. So, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think kind of in the same boat with you. Some of my core plays hit. You know, I also do an accompanying piece for the site, and I talked a little bit about, you know, guys like Kirk Cousins, which didn't hit. But I had Kareem Hunt, who had a nice game in there as well, and some others. And so, you know, what I found actually, Mike, was kind of quite interesting for me on the smaller slates, on the afternoon slates. Actually, there's a lot of, I think a little bit of an edge. For me, I'm able to kind of break down the slate a little bit better when it's not the full 15 games and it's just those afternoon slates. A lot of times, you know, a lot of us that are listening to this are busy with family and stuff, and it's kind of a nice little, after everything's gotten done, you can get home and watch a little bit of those 4 o'clock in the East games. And I've done pretty well. I did pretty good closing up shop in the afternoon. And then also on the showdown slates they're offering. I know some people don't necessarily like those, but I actually, you know, think there's a bit of an edge there as well if you kind of just kind of come at it with a little bit of a strategy on the showdown slate. So I've been playing those a lot on both sites.
Yeah, that's definitely a workable strategy. That's the way I am with NBA. I don't play a ton of NBA, but when I get the itch, I play the real small slates because I can make up ground on the people who know what they're doing.
Exactly. You got to find out your niche. And that's actually really important for all of our listeners. If you're going to play daily, and even if you're going to play season long, is just understand the edge you might have on others. There's so much information. Obviously, we're providing you information here on this podcast. So much information out there and stuff. You just got to find ways to be different. And especially in the DFS landscape, find maybe those games that are, the game selection is key, and finding those games that are not often played or, you know, are a little bit different than those big kind of glamour slates, the millionaire maker, and everyone wants to win $1 million on a Sunday. But finding some of those other slates is going to be really more key and vital for your bankroll and your long-term success and, quite frankly, your long-term fun if you just kind of get the right game selection.
Yeah, and in that same vein, I know it's been pretty publicized, but it's worth mentioning that the guy that won the Thursday night showdown had Baker Mayfield in his captain spot, and you know, obviously Baker did not start the game, so he could have took a zero there, but you know, by
and you got to be different, right? I mean, he was different.
But by using that and having some good bones to the rest of it, he managed to take it down. You know, if you can afford to throw that ticket away, I never have a problem with people doing that. You know that you're likely throwing it away, that you're lighting that, you know, $5 or $10 on fire. But, you know, that's part of the thrill of fantasy sports is the hunt. And, you know, take some shots like that once in a while.
Totally. Anything broad-based, Mike, from the week that was on the field?
The Colts might be for real. Again, another team that played my Eagles that I'm moving up the rankings. I'm noticing a trend here.
Yeah.
But no, they look legit. Their defense looks a lot better than it did last season. They made some nice in-game adjustments.
Yeah. Interesting with Luck at the end of the game there, right? And the Brissett coming to throw the Hail Mary in. So that's been the talk.
People are making a big deal about that, but one, Brissett has like probably one of the strongest arms in the NFL.
For sure.
And two, like your guy's got a surgically repaired shoulder, and you know, it's why have him throw a Hail Mary that could risk causing any damage there on a play that's likely not going to result in anything positive. So, you know, let the other guy come in and wear his shoulder out.
Yeah. That's but it, you know, it gives fodder for all of us that digest this sport. So that was definitely the talk as soon as it happened. Twitter was ablaze and people are questioning Andrew Luck and all that stuff. And so we shall see what happens with him the rest of the way. I know a couple things for me coming out of week three. Christian McCaffrey is a stud. I mean, the guy can do it all and showed out well. Almost 200 yards rushing the ball. You know, for the guy they say they can't run between the tackles, he showed he can definitely do that. And that's not even including, you know, the catching ability he's already displayed in his year plus in the league. So Christian McCaffrey, almost an every week play for me at this point. We already know about Alvin Kamara. He's a stud, and especially even, and we'll get into the game by game, but even this week, he's almost a lock and load even at his price because he's giving you wide receiver one production and then maybe running back two production in the same player. So he's definitely worth whatever price they're going to ascribe to him on the different sites. I'm looking at FanDuel, he's 9,100. That might not even be high enough for the production that he's set to have. So, and then, you know, close to home for me, boy, oh boy, about those Detroit Lions, huh?
Yeah.
Jason's not here. I can't. Maybe that's why he's not on the podcast. He may be ducking. The Lions, they say in their fight song, forward down the field. They showed up well. I was really impressed with their offensive line. Really good push. And just, I know it's a product of the Patriots not having their full complement of players or you know, people that they really plan on counting on for the long term of the season, but they were getting manhandled up front on both sides of the ball, but definitely the offensive line. Really impressed with the rookie, Frank Ragnow.
Yeah, Ragnow looked out of Arkansas. Really nice.
Ooh, he looked really good. I know PFF, I think, graded him as the highest, or one of the highest rated interior linemen of the week. And with Kerryon Johnson back there and the ability with Reddick and Blunt, they may have something at least running the ball. And I never worry about the Lions' offense typically. It's been the defense, and you know, they will get into their game this week. They have a fun trip to Dallas, and we'll get in that game. But I really, Kerryon Johnson, if you in a season long format, if you've stashed him away, you're probably looking good and feeling good about that. And also in the DFS format, he's probably a low priced option that you can go to fill out your roster as well. So. All right, well, with that, shall we get into the game-by-game dance?
Let's do it.
All right. So we will start things out with a really, really good Thursday night game. One of the better ones you're probably going to find all year. It's the Minnesota Vikings going out to the City of Angels to play the Los Angeles Rams, who might be the best team in the NFL. Minnesota coming off that atrocious, I don't even know, it's record-breaking in terms of that loss they suffered at the hands at home to Buffalo. Not good might be an understatement. That was just, that was, again, being a Kirk Cousins supporter, I mean, he didn't even look that great. He had a lot of garbage time and stuff there in the fourth quarter. Not really good. Mike, why don't you, if we're looking at this game, either from a single game or the Thursday to Monday slate, what are you seeing on the Rams that you like out of this this game?
So the passing offense, like we talked about last week, everybody's usable. Robert Woods was the spike guy this week. I think you'll continue to see, depending on the matchup, what Peyton wants to do. How they're gonna attack a defense. The Vikings have decent cornerbacks, but I don't think they're anything that you have to avoid. You know, Xavier Rhodes is good, but it'll be interesting if he covers Cooks or Woods more. It's hard to tell who teams think is the number one receiver on the Rams. Obviously, Todd Gurley. I don't know that I would have too much Todd Gurley if you're playing the Thursday to Monday slate, but that could be, like we were talking about, an avenue to get different, because, I mean, you know, he's a stud. He can get it done in any matchup. The Vikings are probably one of the top three run defenses, so, you know, I don't think he's going 100 yards rushing and crazy, you know, production in that route, but he could score a couple touchdowns in a competitive game and end up still being a really nice value. There's some avenues here for the Rams, and the Vikings having to travel coming off of that really big beatdown. That's not good.
That was a shock of all shocks. I kept looking at the score, looking at the highlights, like, what is going on with the Vikings? Like, what is this? What am I watching? It's like they were sleepwalking through most of the game and got their backside handed to them. So I'll look at the Vikings here, in this game with an over-under of, modest 49.5, and the Rams are 6.5-point favorites. The Vikings here, if you want to be different, like we talked about, if you're just going to play a showdown slate, maybe you pair Kirk Cousins with his receivers, Thielen and Diggs, just in the simple fact that the Rams, obviously Marcus Peters is out, and I think Tlaib is out as well. I know he left the game injured, and I think he might be out for the Thursday game, Tlaib too.
He's scheduled for surgery in 2 days.
Yeah, so I know they have a pretty deep squad. Not sure they're backup corners, but, you know, this could have the potential of a little bit of a shootout. I know the Rams front seven is fearsome, but I like, the passing offense. If you're playing a single game slate, be a little different with the Cousins and the stack with the two receivers. You can even throw in Dalvin Cook. I saw some reports today that hamstring feels good. He thinks he's going to be ready to go. He's had 2 weeks off. So, he's another play that people might be scared off with the injury. And he's probably set. If he is healthy, he's probably set for anywhere between 15 and 20 carries in a game that is about, the 6.5-point margin that Vegas has got there. I know we just talked about them being pretty good at this, but I think it's going to be a closer game. It's going to be a fun game to watch from football, if you're a football fan, to watch on Thursday night. All right, let's move on, and let's go to the aforementioned Buffalo Bills traveling to Green Bay. I've got the line set at 44.5, and the Packers are 10-point favorites. So, Mike, anything you like for the Packers side of the ball?
I think this turns into a little bit of a shootout here. Obviously Buffalo is not as good as we saw this week. But Josh Allen, he's riding the wave. He's got momentum on his side. The teams believe it in him a little bit. And I think that Packers defense is bad. Their cornerbacks can't cover. I don't think they're a great run defense either. So, you know, that's going to let Buffalo push it. If Rodgers weren't so damn expensive, I'd love to play him. You might still have to just build like a Rodgers, Adams, Allison lineup just to have it. I think Davante Adams has showed that he's one of the premier touchdown scorers in the league. Allison had a really nice week in a comeback there, so he's a good price most weeks.
What about Jimmy Graham? What do we think of Jimmy Graham in this matchup?
Jimmy Graham's tough for me. It's I think at this point it's a touchdown or bust kind of situation, but that's what most tight ends are. You're hoping to get a touchdown or it's not a great line for the week. So he's fine as a tight end. I don't know that I'm going to go out of my way, and his price is a little bit higher most weeks. The backfield is still a disaster. It's turned into a three-way committee. I'm probably not going anywhere near that until one of those guys gets out of the way.
Yeah, that's probably wise. There's no investment to be had on the Green Bay running back side. Anything else on the offense for Green Bay?
Stay away from Mason Crosby if you need a kicker.
And I know we don't do IDPs, but boy, oh boy, poor Clay Matthews on the defensive side of the ball. Man, like the recipient of two just horrible calls. We talked about this earlier about him, and he's a penalty waiting to happen.
Right.
And come on, Mike, you got to even give it up.
Was that a penalty? No.
No way.
You don't get to do what Clay Matthews has done. You don't get to be a guy who just is always, being flagged, who's always playing somewhat dirty, late hits, jumping over the top, clotheslining people like he's done for years without having that reputation. He earned that reputation, and the refs are going to throw flags on him at the drop of a hat. So
they have the last 2 weeks. Wow.
It's not poor Clay Matthews. Clay Matthews needs to stop hitting defenseless quarterbacks. I know that's a bit of a hot take, but
only a little. It's a little scorcher. Yeah. Real quick on Buffalo. Josh Allen. I know some people in Slack decided to be a little brazen and go way against the grain and play him last week, and I think we're rewarded a little bit by playing Josh Allen. Yeah. I think he regresses in this game. He's a rookie quarterback, and I know this year's class is shaping up to look pretty good all across the board, but I don't like his prospects going to Green Bay. Chris Ivory running the rock, depending on what's going on with LeSean McCoy, maybe a potential option. I don't like any of the Buffalo receivers, so this is a stay away from me with the Buffalo side of the ball in this matchup.
I could see Kelvin Benjamin having a game. He's good for one here and there where he goes nuts and scores a long touchdown or maybe multiple touchdowns in a game.
Well, he's shown some flashes, obviously the Carolina days and then obviously all the drama this offseason, but he doesn't excite me, and I think there's other options in his price range.
That's true.
There's really no reason to test fate 2 weeks in a row with the Bills. So yeah. we'll move on. Let's go to the ATL. The Falcons, coming off that heartbreaker against the Saints, are going to host the Bengals in what should potentially be a shootout. Looking at Vegas here. Vegas has it at the over-under of 51.5 most recently, and the Falcons are 5-point favorites in the game. So what do you like on the Atlanta side of the ball there, Mike?
I really like Tevin Coleman this week, especially if Devonta Freeman's not back. The Bengals, you run on them. That's how you attack that defense. That they want to play a run funnel type of scheme, and we saw last week what a guy who gets rumored as a not strong runner did to them. So
right.
Tevin Coleman is a strong runner. He can catch the ball very well in addition, so he's one of my favorite backs this week. I think Matt Ryan is fine given the point scoring. I don't know that I would chase Calvin Ridley's touchdowns just from an ownership perspective, but hey, man, somebody's got to catch a touchdown or two for the Falcons, and apparently it won't be Julio. So
yeah, this is still continuing again. I mean, this was the issue last season with him. Yeah. All the talent in the world, probably Hall of Fame talent, for whatever reason, they just don't go to him. I'm with you on staying away from Ridley. Yeah, it's totally scheme, but yeah. I mean, I am not, just FYI, I am not a football coach. That's not what I do for my day job, but I know when you have a talent like that, you can find a way to get him the football, and they just don't seem to do that. Ridley looked great. I talked about Ridley a few weeks ago, I think maybe in the opening week, and it just has taken him a little bit of time. He's integrated. He's not the number two, though. Sanu's still the number two. So.
And I like Mo Sanu this week. Yeah. The Bengals' weakness at corner is their nickel slot. If you're gonna put a receiver into that mix with like a Matt Ryan, Tevin Coleman stack, I'd like Mo Sanu to score a touchdown this week.
That's a good call. It's a good bold call. I think from looking at Cincinnati here, I want to see the injury report again. We're taping this on a Tuesday night. Please look and monitor throughout the week what's happening. Because if Joe Mixon's back, I want a lot of Joe Mixon this week. Atlanta, with all the injuries on defense, being gashed in the run game, and they were already sort of funnel defense that way anyway. So,
They struggle against pass catchers. So,
exactly.
Even if Mixon's back, Gio Bernard's still in play for me.
Yep, and we have to see AJ Green. I think a little banged up, but if he goes, I like AJ Green. We mentioned the running back play there, maybe even a Tyler Eifert in a game like this, and definitely a Tyler Boyd. Boyd has showed out well. I know he performed even before the AJ Green injury last week. I like Tyler Boyd. He's pretty affordable still on the sites, and so in a game that's projected to be so high scoring, that offense got to come from somewhere. So
I think it would be really funny if it was a John Ross game. I'm pretty down on John Ross in general, but everybody chased it week one in the Dome in Indy, and you got a touchdown out of it, so you can't be mad. But he didn't give the 100 yards receiving that people were kind of penciling him in for. If he does it this week in a different dome, I'd get a kick out of that.
I mean, to me, he's just fast, and it's more, we all know playing football, fast is a very good asset, but if that's all you are, you're not really a whole lot of a value to your team. And I think the Bengals are a little sour on him already in this early part of the season, so he'll come around, and he's going to be, to me, like would be a good comp on him. Maybe like a Tavon Austin type guy, like one of these guys that's a big play, and he'll have the weeks where he has four catches for maybe 130 and a touchdown, but he's going to have a lot of two-catch, 20-yard games throughout the season. I don't like him in this matchup, but I can go a lot of other ways with the Bengals. And if you're looking to be a little different at quarterback, maybe you throw in the Red Rocket and put in Andy Dalton. So I like this game with that. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to a game that I will be keenly interested in. The Detroit Lions coming off the resounding thumping of the mighty, mighty Death Star New England Patriots go to Dallas and take on the Cowboys, who come off that loss out in Seattle. Cowboys are favored by 3. So, and the over-under is 43.5, so kind of modest total there. What do you like with the guys with a star on their helmet? And I know you really don't like the guys with a star being the Philly guy, but for purposes of today's show, what do you like in Dallas?
Oh man, not much. It's there's not much to like in Dallas these days, and that's an unbiased opinion, I think. Zeke is a good play here. Obviously, we talked this last week. He's kind of the focal point of their offense. And I believe Zeke was on the Millie Maker lineup for DK. He was a good value. The Lions run defense isn't great. we'll see if it's improving or not. This will be a pretty telling week. Outside of that, man, no receiver has stepped up. They don't have any tight ends. You know, Dak hasn't really had the rushing that can kind of give him a floor. So, yeah, just, you know, it comes down to pace with the Cowboys, and they grind things to such a halt and you know, bleed a whole bunch of time out of the play clock. So it's hard to like much. And on both sides, you know, that hurts the other team as well. There's less plays run in the game. There's less production.
Yeah, and that's going to be a problem for the Lions. I totally agree with you on Dallas. We talked about this early on in the preseason, the first couple episodes of the Fantasy Fader out here. Dallas is going to be in for a long season. They have no deep threats. They have no one to pass, so totally concur with that. On the Detroit side of the ball, Matt Stafford is he's got the arm talent in the world, a lot of weapons. I like him. You know, he was on the national spotlight last week. They played pretty well. He forced a throw or two here or there. But on the whole, he's got a nice rapport with Kenny Galladay, obviously Golden Tate in the full PPR sites like a DraftKings, is money in the bank every week. You just plug him in, you know he's going to get you six catches plus. Marvin Jones, even though he's been targeted less, I think he's got 22 receptions, if I'm not mistaken. And the other guys are upward near 30 receptions. All three of those receivers, I think, are very viable options this week. I like Kerryon Johnson at running back. We talked about in the beginning of the show. I maybe even like a Theo Riddick in this game. Pace will be important, as you mentioned, and I think maybe that's what Vegas is seeing is the grinding that Dallas does. But I think Detroit's probably figured out a few things at least. This will be telling. Now, I mentioned before we were taping, you know, I could see that Patriots game coming. Those are the type of games, as being a longtime Lion fan, that the Lions just find a way to be competitive in. Most of you guys in the national audience have seen them on Thanksgiving Day. And oftentimes, even in bad seasons, when they have that national spotlight, they show out well for the home fans. They didn't do it in week one against Sam Darnold and the Jets, but they waited for Tom Terrific and the Pats. But I like Detroit as a stack this week. Something tells me that they may have figured some things out, getting Kerryon Johnson. I think Sean Lee, the ever-injured Sean Lee, is hurt for Dallas. I don't know if he's going to play in the game, so that's a loss for them. Although, at this point, they probably just figure he's only an eight-game guy a year, because it seems like every year he's hurt. So I like Detroit as a sneaky stack. Coming off the win, it's indoors in Dallas, so I like the Lions.
I can get down with that, you know, if they come in and impose their will, which isn't too hard to do to Dallas.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to another game. We've got the Houston Texans traveling in division to go play in the Heartland and face the Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts. Indianapolis is a 1.5-point favorite at home. The over-under is modest 47. Mike, what do you like from the Colts here?
At home, you know, T.Y. Hilton is always in play. He's really one of the few receiving options that the Colts have. You know, this could turn into a track meet. I know we talked this last week with the Texans, and it didn't quite happen. Even though they were trailing early versus the Giants, they never really got it into the next gear. And I think that game was 27-20, so not garbage, but you know, not the 50 some points we were hoping for. T.Y. Hilton, always a nice play at home. We'll see what happens with Jack Doyle. I hope Jack Doyle is active, because it'll take ownership off of Ebron. Ebron got peppered with targets, especially in the end zone. The defense had some nice plays. He was usually covered. He wasn't wide open. But given that everyone played Ebron at his price and his projected usage, you know, they were let down. So that's a week I love to play, guys, is, you know, give me a letdown week, and then I'll play him. And I think the Texans are pretty bad against tight ends generally. So a guy like Ebron with a little bit of plus athleticism could do some damage.
But that supposes that he can actually play football, Mike. You guys got me on Eric Ebron. I played him in a lot of lineups. And by 3:30, I was like, man, my co-hosts are making me upset right now with this. And I know we talked about his role in this offense as not being, a pure tight end. He's more kind of in that old Dante Moncrief wide receiver 2 role. And you're right, if Jack Doyle plays, it kind of gets him back into, gets Ebron back into his role, but I can't go back to the well. I should have known better. I can't go back to the well on Ebron.
I think you need to apologize to everyone, Kwafu, for playing Ebron and putting your bad juju on him.
Well, I'll own that. I'll wear that. I'm not going to play him anymore. There's guys, I know we have bias in this game and playing fantasy and guys we just won't pick for whatever reason. I'm putting Eric Ebron in my list to unplayable list. I just can't. I watched too much of it up here. I know he's got pretty talented quarterback, even if he's a little hampered in Andrew Luck. I can't do it.
Right. Browns. He'll be back to his 4 for 50 with a touchdown this week. So.
All right. Well, that stay tuned, folks, because that might be the lock later. We'll see on that.
I wouldn't go that far.
On the Houston side of the ball. Deshaun Watson, I had a lot of Deshaun Watson last week, and he had a good stat line, but as you mentioned, just the way the game played out, I thought there'd be more from him last week, and there really wasn't. I mean, he over 300 yards and touchdowns and the like, but he does hold on to the ball quite a bit. He's still, trying to make the right read, which you want as a quarterback, but he's maybe still trying to feel his way through, coming off the injury and whatnot. He's not a bad play here, but I like other quarterbacks, I think, this week. As long as Will Fuller is healthy, he's a good play. I mean, him and Watson have some chemistry, and he's penciled in for 75 to 125 and a touchdown. It seems like every time you look up and Watson's back there, he's playing. So Will Fuller is an option. Nuke Hopkins. Uber talented Indianapolis secondary, I think they can be beat. So I like Nuke Hopkins. And then Lamar Miller, often forgot, but, in the dome, in division, they kind of know Indianapolis' scheme and whatnot. So you could do a lot worse than Lamar Miller. So he may be a sneaky play. If you play, as we were talking about those split slates, if you play maybe just a 1 p.m. slate, he may be a good way to go at the running back spot if you're playing a split slate. And even if you're playing the full main slate, Lamar Miller, I'm gonna say Lamar Miller's going in the end zone this week.
That's not a bad call. I keep chasing the Texans, breakout performance. Hasn't really happened yet, but I'm willing to chase it one more week.
Yeah, and they're desperate, right? I mean, they're desperate for a win, so... this may be a good spot for them. So let's move on to New England. They're hosting the Dolphins this week in what's shaping up to be kind of a must-win for the Patriots. The Patriots are a touchdown favorite. They're a 7-point favorite. The over-under is 47.5 against the undefeated Dolphins. We'll let you take Tom Terrific and the boys, Mike, and what do you think on the Patriots side of the ball?
It's been a really interesting season. Obviously they've had a lot of unrest with Edelman being suspended and the running back situation, Gronk talking about retiring, et cetera, et cetera. And it's showing. You can't have all that happen in the offseason and be a cohesive unit. So the thing I'm most worried about, though, is for 2 weeks in a row, teams showed a blueprint of you just double Rob Gronkowski. You put your best corner on him with some safety help, et cetera. And, he's only human at this point. He's no longer superhuman. He's
right.
He's just a regular man after all the punishment he's taken.
And maybe the self-inflicted punishment in the offseason, right?
That's possible.
Yeah.
But until the Patriots give teams something else to respect. Like, you know, Chris Hogan isn't getting it done, and I don't know why people thought Hogan was going to be this, you know, Randy Moss type receiver. He's always been this. It's always been a flash in the pan with him with some touchdown production. And that'll continue. He'll have weeks where he'll score a touchdown or two, and people will buy back in, and it'll be a cycle. Josh Gordon, if he's active, you know, maybe he catches a touchdown. The Dolphins have a decent secondary, so it's not I don't think this game is going to have a ton of scoring. You know, I'm not super high on the Pats here this week.
No Sony Michel. No. We done with Rex Burkhead. We done with that.
I was never on Rex Burkhead to begin with.
Neither was I. Yeah.
Camp.
Yeah.
You know, I think he left the game last week. So if he's inactive for any reason, Michel would be a nice play. I think Michelle's better than he. Than he showed on against Detroit. You know, he's got to get on the same page with Brady. There were some throws where he wasn't exactly where Brady wanted him, and Brady gives him that stupid look that he gives his receivers when he thinks it's all their fault. And, you know, he's got some stuff to overcome there. But
at least Giselle didn't make some kind of commentary on what's going on there with the receiving corps in New England. So. Just looking at Miami side of the ball, their offense is a little more dynamic than I thought coming in the season. Adam Gase has figured some stuff out. Ryan Tannehill with a run-pass option and tailoring an offense to him. And they're just getting creative. And they really, you know, these younger coaches that are coming into the league, maybe it's the Madden influence playing those games or something like that. I mean, just there's a lot of creativity. You know, I was thinking about, you know, going back to the early game with Sean McVay. He might be my favorite coach in all of football just because of the way he's creative and stuff like that. But Gase is really showing something. I think he's got the culture the way he kind of wants it now in Miami. He had that nice play where he got Jakeem Grant open, and he scored, you know, a couple times last week. Kenny Stills, always a threat. I like him. I actually kind of like Kenny Stills a lot here in this game as a scoring option for Miami. Not settled.
Yeah, he torched them last year. Yeah. I think in New England, that was the game that our own Josh Fernandez had a nice payday on.
Yeah, I mean, I like Kenny Stills' game, like his connection with Tannehill. I don't like the running backs. No one's emerged. I mean, Frank Gore is still trucking, and Kenyon Drake is still. You know, yet to kind of emerge as the lead dog there, but I like maybe, you know, I definitely like Stills and maybe Grant there. Devontae Parker, people have kind of left for dead, but he's due to have a game here at some point as well. So Miami, another spot to go. It is a tough matchup. New England's going to be fired up and ready to go, but having just watched them play, their whole defense looks like a mess, and as you mentioned, the blueprint is out. If Miami does a little bit of study, it's going to be closer than I think that line indicates, and yep. And I want some Miami. So, all right.
Can dig it.
Let's move on to a game that has a very low total, and that is the Jets traveling to the Sunshine State to take on the Jaguars, who come off a kind of mystifying game against Tennessee. Just really didn't understand with that. Yeah, that was just a game after having beaten New England. You thought Jacksonville would be locked and ready to go. This over-under is putrid at 38.5, and the Jags are 7.5-point favorites going up against the Jets. What do you like in Jacksonville, Mike?
Yeah, you know, I was high on this offense, this passing offense, particularly last week, and I did the live stream Friday with Jeremy Lopez, and, you know, in the back of my head, I could hear a voice saying, and it was repeating Jeremy's words, this is a divisional matchup.
Right.
And I just didn't listen to it enough to put the brakes on some of my Bortles and Keenan Allen shares. I don't want to give him a full pass for that performance because that was bad, but it was on the road in Tennessee. You know, Tennessee's kind of getting themselves going there after a rough week one. You know, Mariota gutting it out into that in that game last week really kind of inspired his teammates. You know, he's out there doing what he can with limited grip strength.
Is that a thing? Limited grip strength? I mean, this is interesting.
I believe it's his ulnar nerve.
Okay.
What was hit, and the description I've been seeing is that he doesn't have full grip strength. You know, obviously for a quarterback, that's pretty important.
Pretty important, yeah. And he's got. I saw him with the glove on, and I heard all the discussion. And this Tennessee's weird, and we'll get to them in a little bit. But this is just a weird thing. But for me, I think on Jacksonville, everything hinges on the health of Leonard Fournette. Yeah. If he goes. I kind of like him in this game, actually. He's had the 2 weeks off or whatnot. I kind of like him in this game. But if he doesn't go, you know, maybe you're just a week off with your love, you know, with Blake Bortles and Cole and maybe Westbrook and that group. So
yeah, it's entirely possible. I'm going to do my best not to let my at least on Keelan Cole. I think he's the one that you can stick with this week with some ownership exposure. Bortles is Bortles. It's going to happen. If you play him, you got to know that that's a possibility.
There's a very big floor. Like,
yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with Vegas here that this could be a little bit of a defensive showdown with some fourth quarter theatrics to decide the winner. And I mean, it's hard to see much more than 40 points.
Yep, I would agree. Just looking at the Jets, don't like this matchup at all. Rookie quarterback, angry Jacksonville at home, you know, 1 o'clock game, nothing I really like. I know, you know, Quincy Enunwa has shown to be a pretty dependable receiver in the early going. Crowell played well, but I think that has a lot to do with the revenge narrative last week against Cleveland. Bilal Powell still there in the backfield. Robbie Anderson has done almost nothing seemingly this season, and I thought he was set for a much bigger year prior. There's nobody here going up against that all-pro secondary and just that ferocious Jacksonville defense that's going to be amped up on Sunday. Full fade on the Jets.
The only guy I would have any shares of would be Quincy Enunwa, just because he operates so close to the line of scrimmage that Darnold's going to have to go somewhere with the ball. And if it's a PPR setting like DraftKings, I think Enunwa's usable. Not that he's a that good of a price, but that's where I can see the offense funneling.
Yeah, it's just, you know, this is the fantasy fade route. So I think one fade for sure is stay away from the Jets, you know, going up to Jacksonville. So, yeah. All right, moving on, we've got the aforementioned Tennessee Titans hosting your Philadelphia Eagles. So yep. The over-under is 41.5. And the Eagles are 4-point favorites. Because it is your Eagles, why don't you take the Eagles and I'll deal with the Titans?
Why don't you take the Eagles? I'd be interested to see your perspective this
okay.
week.
Okay, well, sure. I will definitely take them. Like what I saw with Carson Wentz, he looked good coming back. Offense moving a lot better with him there.
Opening drive, they came out like gangbusters.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a different feel. That's why he was an MVP candidate. Different feel with him. He is a pretty good play, I think, this week at the quarterback spot, even with the limited receivers. I like Aguilar a lot. You know, he is one of the two main weapons, obviously, with him and Zach Ertz. So I like both of them against Tennessee in this matchup. The offense funnels those way. I want to see what happens with the health of Jay Ajayi. You know, a lot of people were on the Corey Clement train last week with middling results there. If Ajayi can't go, I'm probably not going to go with Clement. Just kind of one of those fool me once, shame on me type situations there, because Wendell Smallwood got involved in the game as well last week too. So For me and the Eagles, yeah,
and don't fall for Smallwood. He's not a good running back. He just happened to get the opportunities in the right spots. He did have good vision. He did show some good vision, but he cannot break a tackle at the NFL level. Arm tackles, guys swiping at his legs, and he gets knocked down. Like, it's just, you know, he's not an NFL running back.
When they activated Josh Adams last week too, so for me and the Eagles. Wentz.
And Sproles could be back as well.
True. So it's a muddy backfield. So for me, Eagles plays in this game. It's Wentz, it's Aguilar, it's Ertz, it's the names you know, and potentially Ajayi if he's healthy. What about those Titans?
You got the Titans here. You don't know who's going to be the quarterback. You would think Mariota goes, given that he played actual football last week and showed he could get it done with his legs a little more. The Eagles are a tough front to do that against. They're super athletic, their front seven. They're also really tough against running backs. They're not quite what they were last year when they were death to running backs, but they're not far off it. Maybe Corey Davis can finally turn targets into some solid production. You know, the Eagles have some flashy corners, but they're not great corners. So I could see Corey Davis finally having a breakout game. Not a ton to love on the Titans side. The Eagles defense could also be a decent play if Mariota doesn't go for any reason, depending on what the Titans roll out at quarterback.
Even if he does go, I mean, he's hampered, and I don't know when this is going to clear up, if it clears up this season. Yeah. The Eagles defense don't sell the Broadway Bullies short. I mean, your defense is pretty formidable. I mean, I think it's getting by, but it's going to get right, and it's a good spot to get right. I like Philly D as a pick, and I'm all off the Titans. I want to like Deion Lewis, but he's, you know, Derrick Henry's still there.
Give it another week. They're going to play the Bills in 2 weeks, That's going to be the Derrick Henry spike. Yeah. We'll talk about it next week.
Exactly. So, all right, let's move on. Let's go to the Windy City, one of my favorite places to travel to. The Tampa Bay Bucks, coming off the Monday night almost comeback, are going to Soldier Field to play the Bears. Looking at Vegas, Vegas has a 46.5 total, and the Bears are 3-point favorites at home right now. What do you like, Mike, when looking at the Bears after coming off that interesting game in Arizona?
Yeah, I think this turns into kind of an ugly affair just because that makes too much sense. It's, you know, the Fitzmagic runs out the week before the bye week, and you got to figure out, you know, who's going to be their quarterback for week six. Like, that's kind of too perfect for the drama of the NFL. On the Bears side, Trubisky and the receivers, if they don't get going here, like, I'm ready to jump ship. The Bucks have the worst secondary in the league. They've got a good pass rush. They've got solid young athletic linebackers, but Trubisky's really leaned on Allen Robinson when he's been in trouble. He's been his go-to target. So I like Robinson. Anthony Miller, we don't know what's going on with him. It sounded like a separated shoulder.
You want to watch for him this week because he left that game with that shoulder and did not return.
It sounded like it was going to be multiple weeks, and then all of a sudden it was one of those like, well, it could just be pain and he might play.
Right.
So if he's out, I like some Taylor Gabriel to kind of soak up that athletic role and do a little bit with the ball in his hands.
Well, do you think stuff funnels to Trey Burton as well if there's no Miller in there?
It's possible. The Bucks have actually been a tough defense on tight ends traditionally, so I'm not sure if we're getting anything out of Burton yet, which is disappointing to me.
You know, another way to go to when you're looking at the Bears is Jordan Howard. And you know if you mentioned him, but Jordan Howard, really talented, three down role now with them.
He's catching passes.
Jordan Howard in this game, I think Connor showed well last night against the Bucks, especially in the fourth quarter. And so this could be a Jordan Howard eats, to your point about this being kind of a slugfest. This could be a Jordan Howard game, positive game script game. And I like him as a running back on Sunday. Right. If I look at Tampa Bay, I was all over Slack last night, gleefully talking about the demise of Ryan Fitzpatrick. He still ended up throwing for the 400 yards and and setting NFL records and all this stuff. But like so many other quarterbacks we talked about, he's been in this league 10 years. You know what you got with him. It is what it is. As you mentioned, Jameis is back in the building as of today. All I can see is, to your point, I can see Khalil Mack just running roughshod over the Bucks, the offensive line on Sunday, and I could see a 2 sacks from Mack, 3-interception game from Fitzpatrick, and as you mentioned, then the quarterback controversy starts
Like if one of those interceptions goes for 6, then the scoring goes to the defense, and the offensive options are all kind of like left out in the cold.
Exactly, and so Tampa Bay, no running game to really speak of. Mike Evans played really well last night. Chris Godwin, if he could ever just hold on to the ball, he'd have super gaudy numbers. But I don't like him in this matchup. DeSean Jackson is one of these high spike players, probably good for GPPs, but not this week against the Bears, because he is one of those boomer bust type players. Nothing on Tampa Bay excites me. Bad matchup, going on the road, shortened week. No Tampa Bay for me at all.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on, going out west to Oakland, where the Raiders, who are desperate for a win, are hosting everyone in America's new team, the Cleveland Browns. The over-under in this game is 45, and the Raiders are 2.5-point favorites. What do you like, Mike, with John Gruden's bunch in Oakland?
I'm interested to see if the success that Jordy Nelson and Derek Carr found this past weekend can continue. It's obviously you're not going to get that line. That was a crazy line out of Jordy, but man, he was the Jordy of old there, getting loose, scoring a touchdown, having some big chunk gains. I think John Gruden is going to recognize that and try to get back to it. So if that happens, that would be good for Derek Carr. The Browns defense has shown better than I thought they were, but I still don't trust them. Maybe it's because I just can't stand Greg Williams. I think that he's just not an NFL level mind.
We got to leave our bias out of this. The numbers are showing that Cleveland is a representative defense. I don't like it as much as you do. I think
the talent's getting it done. I don't think it's Greg Williams, but
that's fair. I'll give you that. I'll concede that.
But so we'll see. I wouldn't go nuts, but I could see a Raiders stack kind of paying off. The guy I'm probably most interested in though would be Jared Cook. The Browns have had their struggles against tight ends. Jared Cook has shown prior games that he can handle a large workload, and as soon as he can score a touchdown, he'll have a nice week.
What about Marshawn Lynch? He's looked really well. I thought he might have been washed, but he's looked really well. He looked good. He looked really good against Miami last week. Had a great touchdown
run.
He's got
one of the top broken tackle statistic lines where yards after contact, that kind of stuff. They all point to him still having it. So, it comes down to game flow. Is he going to get some touchdowns? But they need a win badly, and I could see Marshawn being one of the leaders in that locker room, leading by example by going out and just running through everyone.
Yeah, he's definitely still beast mode, still getting it going. Looking at Cleveland, this is the Baker Mayfield. He had his coming out party last week at home. You're asking him to travel across country, playing a desperate Raiders team. He does provide an upgrade, in terms of his ability to throw the deep ball. So he provides an upgrade to some of the skill position players, your Jarvis Landry's of the world, your David Njoku's of the world, Galloway's. And, you know, with this total, it's kind of middle of the road. I don't necessarily want Baker Mayfield, but I might want, if I want exposure to Cleveland, I think I can get it in the way of some of the skill position players. So, you know, Landry's probably penciled in for 8 or 9 catches. I would think Carlos Hyde is set to have a pretty good game because, again, we talked about the Raiders' defense not really being up to par right now. And Njoku, I mean, you saw what happened last week when Mayfield got in the game. You know, he's instantly getting catches, and Landry's getting catches. And they could have even had a better game last week against the Jets had there been not so many drops. So I don't like Baker Mayfield. And, again, maybe that's my own bias, and, again, we're trying to strip that out of our analysis here. I don't like him as a play this week, but I like some parts on the offense, if that makes some sense to listeners. I like Carlos Hyde, and I like Jarvis Landry as plays for sure in this game.
Yeah, and I think with kind of the Baker mania that's going to take over, that he'll be a little bit more popular than is warranted. So I'm willing to wait a week, see what happens. Oakland's a tough place to play as well. They have a nice home field.
Yeah, I mean, this is their last year, too. This is one of the last games, right? I mean, even though it's only week 4, there's not too many more games left in Oakland. So they're gonna be rabid and ready to go. So I think I'm with you. Let's wait on Baker Mayfield, see what's real and what's fake, strip some of that apart, and maybe he's a later in the season play here. All right, let's move, coming back cross country a little bit, into the desert, where Seattle is going to Arizona to take on the Cardinals. Seattle, after their nice win against Dallas, 3-point favorite. The over-under here, though, really low as well, 38.5 right now. The Cardinals, do you think they figure this out with David Johnson? And what are they going to do at quarterback? Where are we going there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really tough game for Josh Rosen to make his debut, even on the road. The Seahawks defense is, you know, they're not what they once were, but they're still very athletic. They're still going to beat the crap out of you. They're going to, you know, their secondary loves to hold and do all the extracurricular kind of stuff right up to the edge that they can get away with. So it just makes for a messy kind of flow on the offensive side when you're facing them. The game script for the Cardinals to win would be David Johnson getting back on track. And the Seahawks showed at times last year that they were not a good run defense. They're getting some of their linebackers back that are going to help with that. I think that's a possibility. As DJ's price has been creeping down, I've been kind of like, you know, he's been on my horizon, and he's 7.6K on FanDuel this week. I think at that price, I can buy back in.
I'm with you. In my season-long league, in one of my season-long leagues, I executed a trade to get David Johnson. This is a good matchup for him with likely the rookie quarterback. I think Josh Rosen was named the starter. If it wasn't, I think yesterday he might have been named the starter for this matchup. So as you mentioned, you know, Seattle tough D, but I could see a lot of checkdowns, dumps off to David Johnson. This might be the get right game for David Johnson, or maybe it's just hopeful thinking on my part. But I he's just talented, right? He's probably one of the 5 most talented running backs in the league, and they just haven't figured out a way to use him. And I think to protect the rookie quarterback, I like David Johnson as a play. Like you said, low on play in that 77, you know, that 7,000 range on FanDuel. You could do a lot worse than David Johnson this week. Even with his ADOT of, it looks like it was like, you know, 1 yard, so 1.5 yard. But that's going to change this week. So, that being said, if I look at Seattle side of the ball, Seattle D is probably a good way to go. If you're not betting on Josh Rosen, even though he seems pretty poised and he was trying to execute that comeback against the Bears, he's still a rookie quarterback, and all what you said in Seattle's defense still rings true. It's not the Legion of Boom, but they're better than I had given them credit for, and they're probably bound to get, you know, when you look at defenses, you're looking at more production from not necessarily point prevention, but interceptions, sacks, fumble recoveries. And I think Seattle's set to get a lot of those in this game. I also like, you know, Chris Carson seems to have emerged. He had a good game against the Cowboys. And so this, you know, Arizona is a little bit tough against run, but Chris Carson, if you got to...
They used to be, but this season, they've been getting gashed.
True. Yeah, historically they've been good, but again, new coaching regime, different talent there as well. Chris Carson, probably a good play, probably not a lot of people on him even after last week's performance, so that's a way to go. Russ Wilson, it seems like they found, well, they obviously got the win last week and found a formula that doesn't involve Russell having to do everything. So Russ is not, we've talked about this all season long. I think it's going to be a long year for Seattle. So Russ isn't my favorite play here just because kind of similar to Dallas in the sense that, like, who does he have to throw the ball to? You know, washed up Brandon Marshall, and Tyler Lockett's there. You know, I think we're done with the Nate Vinette experiment there. So if I'm looking at Seattle skill position players, it's probably just Chris Carson this week. I think he's taken the ball and has emerged as probably the best play on that side of the ball.
All right.
We'll go all the way back east, and we'll go to a game that a lot of people are going to be on, and that is the Saints coming to Gotham to play the Giants. The over-under on that game is 50 right now. The Giants are 3.5-point home dogs against the Saints. So, Mike, the Giants, a lot of skills there. What do you think with New York?
I mean, that's obviously a nice total, but I don't ever underestimate the Giants' ability to ruin everything that you want to enjoy.
Is that an NFC? Like, that might be NFC East bias right there. That's what that might be.
Perhaps, but you know, it's the Saints' defense is definitely regressed. I think that's a big part of it, and their offense is, you know, clearly one of the best in the league, and the whole Saints on the road thing is obviously a split, but I don't think it's the bias that people tend to attribute to it. Breeze can still get it done. Kamara's, you know, obviously fine. But on the Giants side, you know, Eli with Odell, that's probably, you know, your passing tree. Sterling Shepard could have a nice game. The Saints just lost Patrick Robinson to, I think, a broken ankle. So he's out. He's their slot corner. Shepard showed that he can score touchdowns out of the slot. He kind of back from the dead. He didn't have a very good start to the year. And then Saquon. I mean, I'm going to like Saquon in pretty much any game going forward. The guy's just too explosive. And they're giving him some real work, which was my main concern for him going into the year was that he wouldn't get the volume.
Yeah, Saquon looks really, really good. If I'm looking at, you know, he's got 46 carries, but he's also got 21 catches already on this young season. So I mean, he's averaging 4.7 yards per carry, toting the rock. He's a do everything back. He's showing why they picked him so high. So definitely for me, I think with the Giants, you're right on the mark with OBJ and Saquon. Yeah, what about Eli?
Yeah, I mean, he's fine to stick in a stack. His price isn't bad, but you know, he's gonna need 3 or 4 touchdowns to really help you hit the money, and that's just not really who Eli is. It happens like once a year, but that's usually against the Eagles.
Spoken like someone who's witnessed that many, many times. So if I look at the Saints here, We know where the offense goes here. It's Breeze, Kamara, and Thomas. Thomas with record-setting numbers to start the season as well, catching almost everything thrown his way. The Giants' defense, not anything to write home about. I mean, they played Houston relatively tough last week. If I'm looking at this game, trying to stack both sides of it, probably key. It's going to be tough to do, obviously, with the prices on guys like Kamara and Thomas. But if you sprinkle it in with some of those plays and maybe like the Cincinnati game or something like that, or maybe even Philly, you may be able to put something together. But the Saints going to be an explosive offense, and it looks like they're going to be a lot of shootouts this year. I thought the defense was better than it showed, but in the early going hasn't been very good. So I like we talked about Kamara at the start of the show. He's getting close to a lock for me almost every week. And I think Mark Ingram is back next week, if I'm not mistaken. So last week you get the full show of Kamara. But, Vegas likes this game. I kind of like this game on both sides of it. So.
Yeah, and then don't forget about old Ben, old man Ben Watson.
Well, so he and I have a mixed relationship. So, like, I talked about him to start the season, talked about him in some of the preseason pods we did.
He should have had a touchdown 2 weeks
ago. Yeah, I know.
Breeze overthrew him. The Giants, they haven't shown it yet, but I don't think they're good against the tight end again. They're maybe not the worst team in the league like they were, but they've had a touchdown called back against ASJ, some other stuff. So I'd be willing to take a stab at Ben Watson.
I don't know if I can put my money behind Ben Watson now. I mean, I see where this offense is going, and most of it is centered around those other guys. So, but again, you could do worse. But I'm not gonna spend any of my money, I think, on good old Ben this week. So, let's move to a game that we could probably cover pretty quickly in light of the injury news there. San Francisco going down the coast to play at that soccer stadium there for the LA Chargers. The total here is 46.5. The Chargers are big favorites, 10.5-point favorites. Why don't you run through some Chargers plays, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, what's not to like on this side? The Niners defense is not very good. The only concern I have is that the Chargers may not need to keep the pedal to the metal with nobody keeping up with them. Melvin Gordon's probably your key play. He should stay involved even in a big lead.
You hear that, Jason? Melvin Gordon.
Yep.
Staying on brand. That's for you,
Jason.
For you, buddy.
And you got Phil Rivers. You know, that it's probably a good spot. He's good for a couple touchdowns in most Charger wins. Keenan Allen should have a nice bounce back. I'm probably not chasing Mike Williams. I think that's probably a mistake coming off of big games for him, given that his role is a little bit inconsistent. And even Tyrell Williams, I'm not sure that they need to push the ball to Tyrell Williams. So really just Rivers and Keenan and Gordon, your usual suspects.
Well, now, I will differ just a little bit on Mike Williams. I've spoken about him before. I like what he brings to their offense. His price has come up, so that's something that I'm a little hesitant on. Like you said, you might want to you'd be chasing to maybe go that way, but I think this is like the whole offense is going to have a field day with San Francisco here. So at 6,300 on FanDuel, right? If you're trying to fit in some of those guys from the last game we just talked about, Mike Williams not a bad option. I mean, if he gets, especially on a site like FanDuel that is so touchdown dependent, I mean, he's getting that role, you know, kind of as a hybrid receiver tight end, you know, player in their offense. I mean, he's likely to find the end zone just as much as Allen or some of the others in the offense.
Yeah, it's possible he's their, you know, de facto tight end, but I worry about his target share.
Yeah, it's not without some risk, but all, you know, this whole kit and caboodle is not without risk. If I look at the Niners, Man, just can't catch a break. You lose your starting running back, and then you lose your starting quarterback on a play. I know Shanahan was saying he will learn from this, and Garoppolo will learn from this, and maybe get out of bounds sooner when he comes back to play. Because I saw that play, and it just was an awkward looking play, and just he probably should have just gone out of bounds, not trying to get the extra yard, because now you're toast for the season. But with him now calling the trigger, C.J. Beathard does nothing for me. Matt Breida was hurt a little bit, but I think he's set to go this week. The only offensive piece that I think is even usable is maybe Kittle at tight end. But, I mean, even though they're going to be playing from behind, I know Beathard had some reps last year. San Francisco just went from a team that was kind of a sexy pick to now you're going to be able to load up against them, I think, for the rest of the year. Yeah. So nothing there with the Niners. Nothing there with the Niners. So winding down, we'll do the Sunday night game, and that is a bloodbath in the AFC North. Pittsburgh coming off the win and their 1-1-1 record now, going to Baltimore to their hated rivals in Charm City. Pittsburgh is excuse me, that game is in Pittsburgh. Yep, sorry. My eyes are bad here on the screen. So the game's in Pittsburgh. Still blood rivals. Pittsburgh 3-point favorite. 51 over under. So Vegas sees this as a higher scoring game. Why don't you walk us through the folks in the Steel City there?
Yeah, you know, they're at home, so there's always the potential for the shootout. I don't know that that's this game. The 51 is obviously a high total, but yeah, Ravens Steelers is typically kind of a back and forth slugfest, as you alluded to. You know, James Conner's probably going to be a focal point for the Steelers offense. If he can score a touchdown, that makes his day nice. It should couple with strong usage in both the rushing and the passing game. You know, AB, you can't count him out in any game. Juju does nice work underneath, and he's got like 8 straight games with 100 yards receiving, if I saw that stat.
Super talented kid. And really, yeah. Still just kind of a babe in the woods. He's just I don't even think he knows how good he's actually going to ultimately be.
Yeah, and you know, the Ravens have a reputation as a good defense, but like we saw on the road that they're different than at home when they played the Bengals 2 weeks ago and A.J. Green went nuts. You know, Andy Dalton and A.J. Green aren't quite Roethlisberger, Brown, and Juju, so.
Fair.
You know, it's never a bad time to throw a Steelers stack out there.
Yeah, especially coming off, you know, get a little bit of momentum after the Monday night game. If I look at Baltimore, I liked Alex Collins last week. He was just okay. A name to watch for with Baltimore is Buck Allen. He's on the season, got 13 catches already. He's playing in a lot of their sets and formations. I think Flacco and the coaching staff has confidence in him. So Buck Allen is definitely a play. If you're doing a showdown slate, you want to get him in your lineup as well. Crabtree has not done a whole lot this season, but you know, in a game that's projected to be maybe a little bit of a shootout, I like Crabtree here. I don't know if Hayden Hurst is back yet. Kind of want to monitor that because I know they like him.
Even if he is, it's you know, he's not going to get a full complement of snaps. Sure. Would be my expectation.
Sure, and so you're looking at from Baltimore, maybe Willie Snead as well. You know, who's again their whole offense played a little bit better against Denver last week, In a total that's slated to be so high, even though, you know, we do know these games get real physical real quick. There's some plays on Baltimore, especially if you're going to a showdown. I would say maybe that's a way to be different. Instead of stacking what everybody thinks, you know, Pittsburgh, maybe you stack Baltimore in a showdown slate with just one person from the Pittsburgh side. Go ahead, Mike. You were about to say something.
Yeah, you know, if you use a Steelers stack, I'd run it back with Smokey Brown, John Brown. He's becoming a Joe Flacco favorite. Had 9 targets last week, 10 the week prior.
Yeah, he's emerging. I neglected to mention him. Yeah, Brown has really really gotten, you know, a good rapport with Flacco, and showing why he had the flashes of this out in Arizona. So.
And we saw, you know, against the Bucs what can happen when the Steelers get up and their secondary has to try to prevent big plays.
Exactly. So, last game of the slate, the Monday night affair, the red hot Kansas City Chiefs going to Denver, take on my Broncos there. Denver is a 5.5-point dog at home against the new vaunted Chiefs here. The over-under is 56 here. Again, if you're playing Thursday, Monday, a lot of people are going to be stacking this game. If you're playing Showdown Slate, again, this is going to be a popular game just because it's prime time and it's got the new NFL darling in Pat Mahomes. What do you like on the Denver side of the ball, Mike?
I kind of worry that this game is set up for a letdown, being a divisional matchup, a big rivalry, and being in Denver. But, you know, over on the Denver side, I think Royce Freeman maybe has a shot to solidify his role a little more. We don't know if Philip Lindsay's going to face any internal discipline from the team for getting ejected. They didn't seem too upset with him, but you never know. That may cut into his shares there. And then Emmanuel Sanders is kind of becoming the wide receiver one there. He's still got it, man. Even at 31, he's got
the moves. Yeah, he does. He's got the moves in space, and he's definitely got it. And Demaryius Thomas, this could be a game for him as well, you know.
If it's
a shootout. So I'm with you. When I look at Kansas City, they are the darlings of the league, right? Everybody's loving them. This is Pat Mahomes. He can do no wrong. Kid is talented. And I've got a little surprise at the end of the show. But I see this offense, you know, they're quick hitters, and they have a lot of things they can scheme against. But as you mentioned, it's a division matchup. And Denver studies these guys. And this game is on the road for Kansas City at Denver. Denver's front seven, not bad. Denver at home is a lot different than Denver on the road. Everyone's going to go to Mahomes and Hill and Kelsey and Hunt and Watkin. We know the names already in his young season. I might not want to go that way in the showdown slate. Again, to be different. And again, even if you're playing a Thursday to Monday, you know, yeah, Vegas, 56, right? Boom, you got to play that. I don't know that it's going to reach it. I'm going to go out on the record right now and say, I don't know if we're going to get to 56 in this game. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we've reached that time of the show to go over our locks, our fade, and our sleeper. And I'm going to let you do the honors and lead us off, Mike, with one of each of those.
So my lock would be Saquon Barkley. Just showed that with the ball in his hands, he's never it's never out of it. He can score from anywhere. He can catch the ball. He's got those ridiculous thighs. That's always a possibility. And then my fade, anybody in the Titans running game, the Eagles are just too good, and they haven't gotten going. And then a sleeper, for this week would be probably.
If you take this guy, I'm going to be so upset because you already stole my lock. I'm just going to go on a record. For you listeners, we didn't do this pre-show. We didn't do that. Like, he got my lock. But go ahead with your sleeper. Hopefully you don't.
We'll double down on Saquon. Yeah. But my sleeper, I think I'm going to go Geronimo Allison because I think that game, the game's going to get loose on the Packers. And I like him better than Cobb, just, you know, from a general standpoint. Cobb's a good athlete, but there's always something going on with him.
Exactly. All right, so yeah, I will double down on that Saquon Barkley pick. That kid is just, he can go. He has got a lot of talent. But to differentiate a little bit, I'll give you another lock, and I like Melvin Gordon. We talked about what the Chargers plan to do to the Niners. It's not going to be pretty. I'm going to go on record now. Melvin Gordon, 2 touchdowns, 100 yards. Big game from Melvin Gordon. My fade, I have 2 fades this week. On the main slate, on the, you know, the primarily Sunday slate, I'm fading Ryan Fitzpatrick. I know he's got all the numbers, but going to Chicago, the pixie dust is gone. I am fading Ryan Fitzpatrick. But here's my my surprise for the listeners, and I will do the mea culpas if this doesn't come through. But I think another fade this week, shock of all shocks, is Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to fade him on the Monday night, on the single game slate on Monday night. I'm not playing him. I think he's still a rookie quarterback, even though he looks great and he set records and all those things. But what we just talked about with Denver, got to be different a little bit here. It is a fantasy fade route. I'm fading Patrick Mahomes. And so I'll go down with that. I think, you know, Denver at home on Monday night, I know the kid won't be phased, but he's still a rookie. So, and then my sleeper this week is Kenny Stills for the Dolphins up going against New England. I like him to have a really nice game. He's got a good rapport with Tannehill, as we talked about. I like Kenny Stills for let's call him 5 catches, let's call him 90 yards, and let's call him an end zone dance as well. So.
Nice, I like it. I'll be playing him for sure.
Any parting shots, Mike?
That's all I got this week.
All right. So, again, as always, an early week podcast, so please reach out to us on Twitter. I'm at Spartanzilla. Mike is at Roto_Juan. You can find us in the Lineup Logic community and through that. And, again, please seek us out that way. Subscribe, become Patreon members. It's definitely worth your time and your investment and your money. It's just a great community to be a part of. So with that, we hope good cheer for you and a very profitable week 4 for you. For Mike, I'm Quaffo, and we're out of here. Good luck, guys.